No Premier League football this week, but a happy pod after a much better game week. We check in on chip strategy, big up Bournemouth, do our regular positional stock check. And the question is, will I be persuaded to finally play my wild card? Well, isn't this refreshing? An FPL pod where we all actually had a pretty good week. It's only taken, what, 7 or 8 game weeks, but I think we're improving, would you say, Jules, between us?
Yeah, I think that was amazing. That was our best week so far, as you said. You know, everybody had plenty of, not just a green arrow, but loads of, you know, jumping a lot higher in the rankings, which is great. I mean, it helps when, you know, your captain does well, for example, or when some of the key players do well. It could have been better, I think, for three of us, even more than the, 77 for points for me and you, Kels, and I think 80-something for
86
Sam.
For Sam, yeah.
Yeah, but he's still very happy on Sunday night.
Yeah, everyone very happy. And Sam, I imagine you especially so, because so many returns.
Yeah, and big returns as well from the players that did. So, like, I text you, didn't I? Because when Kudus did his thing, I was
I knew he wouldn't reply. He never replies when he's wrong about something.
I'm happy for Kudus. I mean, his goal, you know, the shot is not even on target, right?
It's been coming for weeks.
That's
Jules.
A massive
I'm not going to also, I've watched Spurs' games recently more than I would have just because of work. And the last few games, he's been so unlucky
so
not
good.
To return.
Yeah.
And I take it all back. You know, when I think I even put the clip on social media when I said, it was wrong. It was a mistake bringing Kudus in over Grealish. It wasn't. It was a masterstroke. It was all part of the plan.
It was genius. Part of the plan. You just had to be patient. So, you know, the fact that you were is, good. I mean, it started well, didn't it, on Friday evening with Semenyo and his points, although I was a bit upset with Senesi for not picking up the DEFCON that he normally does, but
how can you be annoyed? He's done it every week.
I know, but that's why I was annoyed, because I was like, I've got so used to seeing at least 4 next to his name that when you only see 2, it's a bit like, oh, but I mean, it changed the game, didn't it? And he went off and they went all out attack. But yeah, really good from Semenyo. Kudus did well. Timber was great. Timber winning the penalty for Saka was probably one of the favourite things that happened for me at the weekend.
That was very big for the whole Arsenal debate, wasn't it? And the conundrum of who's on penalties. And if you didn't have Saka before, like myself, I think it showed that you do need him. Do you think, Jules, that we're reading too much into that? Could there be a sharing situation on our hands, or do we just need to assume it's Saka?
No, I think it's a good question, because I was at the game and I was obviously very happy when Timber got the penalty for FPL reasons, really. And Timber was amazing in the game from start to finish, to be fair. And then the question was like, and I think there was probably a lot of the people within the Emirates who were in the same position as me, like, oh, who's going to take it for the FPL team? And Gyökeres waited for Saka, who went to get the ball. The ball was like away and by the touchline. Saka went to get the ball. You could see Gyökeres waiting. Then they had a little chat. Probably Gyökeres saying like, do you fancy this? Do you want me to take it? Because I fancy it, that kind of stuff. And there was no way. It was not Saka, who hadn't scored yet. You know, Gyökeres had a penalty against Leeds, for example, and took it when Saka was not on the pitch anymore. They might share, although I still think that Saka will be the number one taker. Although in a game where Saka has already scored maybe 1 or 2 goals, a penalty comes, I wouldn't be surprised if Saka gives the ball to Gyökeres. But I think for now, it shows that Saka is still the number one taker.
I can't wait to see the FPL meltdown on social media the next time your Chris takes a penalty. Yeah. It's going to happen, isn't it? Anyway, yeah, great week for all of us. 600k green arrow for Jules, 1 million for me, 2.1 million for Sam. So yeah, really good, really nice to have a break where we've got something good to reflect on, isn't it? As for the FPL Pod Mini League, it's so exciting at the top at the moment because it's changing absolutely constantly. At the top now is Alex Monteith, their team Ha Ha Haaland. Oh no, just 2 ha ha's, but you get my point. Registered 82 points. They went from 10th up to 1st. It's really competitive at the top. He captained Haaland like so many of us did. Also had returns from Gabriel and Dai, Kudus, Semenyo, Eze and Mbeumo. David Shackleton had a really good climb as well. He may only be 2nd, but after game week 6, he was 66th. He now sits just 1 point off top. He played triple captain. He triple captained, wow, get this, Semenyo, who got him 54 points. He also had double digits from Byrne, Kudus, 5 points from Tarkovsky with 2 DEFCON and a bonus. He also benched Vardiol's 12 points for his assist, clean sheet and 3 bonus, as well as Grealish's 10 points. So it could have been even better, but what a squad he's got there. He's got squad depth, hasn't he? Norman Dearman climbs up into 3rd, got 81 points. He played his wild card. Could have been even better though, because he did bench Caicedo, Munoz and Mbeumo, who got a combined total of 24 points. A reminder, the code for the league, and it's worth joining just because it is so tight at the moment, XY6XPL.
By the way, just quickly on Semenyo, captain, right?
Remember, yes, we know you said.
You said never captain anybody from a Friday night, Thursday night, Wednesday night, Tuesday night, Monday night game.
Let's be fair. We've always said you shouldn't.
We've always said you shouldn't. We've always said that it just feels a bit weird. Like and Sam in particular has a thing about it. And Sam has never said that's a FPL gospel rule.
I tell you to do it, George. You're a free man. You can do what you like.
Sam, you wouldn't have done it anyway when you got Haaland in your team. Who are you? You've got Haaland and Saka and you would have gone Semenyo.
But Semenyo right now is the, and we talk about, you know, midfielders later on the show. Semenyo is the best Premier League player right now. He's been the best since April, probably. Nobody has scored more goals than him or more goals and assists than him in Premier League. It's just,
well, then you should have known to captain him then, shouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, imagine if I tell my friends who I do a show with, hey, what about Semenyo? Nah, don't do that. Not Friday night.
I'm just going to really stick up for Sam on this. Let me stick up for Sam on this because she always says about the Saturday 12:30 and the Friday, she always says she feels funny about it. It's a funny thing that she has.
Ruins my weekend.
I think she
doesn't say everyone else.
No, I never tell you not to do things, George. You don't listen to me anyway. So why would you listen to me on this?
Well, I don't know.
Also, Jules, you're above her. You shouldn't be listening to her anyway. That's
what Exactly.
Right, can we move on to the actual topic rather than descending into yet another argument? Chip strategy. It's always a good time to talk about this in the international break, isn't it? We are going to look back on what's happened so far, which kind of, I suppose, plays into why we might be playing chips at this point. You guys have both played a chip. You've both played your wild card. I haven't played one yet. But of course, we've got to be planning when we're going to be using them. A lot of people, of course, will have used that triple captain chip on Haaland just a couple of weeks ago. Sam, what's your current plan?
I think I'm going to bench boost this week coming out of the international break in 8 because I'd set up my team for this. So
just to be able to get rid of some of the bench.
Yeah.
Is that the plan?
Well, sort of, yeah. But also, I might actually put some extra money into the bench ahead of it because there's a player we're going to talk about in the midfielder slot who I can afford right now and I think is possibly better than Anton Stack who I've got right now. So I'm probably looking at a strategy of a bench boost in 8 unless there's like injuries galore over the international break and then obviously I'll have to change my strat. The triple captain. So I've sat down and went through the game weeks and kind of looked at when, and it's difficult to plan too far ahead, right? Because form changes, we're already seeing a form change from West Ham under their new manager. They're looking better. So then maybe no longer a team to target. Haaland's got good fixtures in 13, 15 and 18 against Leeds, Sunderland and Forest. So might go for him then. I quite like the idea of Semenyo versus Forest in game week 9.
But is it the first fixture of the weekend?
Haven't checked, but if it is, then that would put me off for sure. Or he's also got Burnley, both those are home games in 17. So I do quite like the idea of that. Saka, possibly he's got Burnley and Sunderland in 10 and 11, Wolves in 16, or Isak against Wolves in 18. Those are the kind of options I'm looking at. So basically I'm going to look, that's the list. Those are the players that might get the chip. I kind of do like, at the minute I'm erring towards Semenyo in game week 9 against Forest. We'll see how we are as we get to that point, but it feels like a decent option, particularly as we'll talk about later, because Semenyo and Bournemouth are one of the teams with the fewest fixtures over the next few weeks.
Jules, what about you? You got that notebook, you got the talent planning.
Yeah,
vision.
Absolutely. Bench boost game week 9. It looks good for my squad and my players. I like a free hit for game week 14 because I think that especially for the big clubs, it falls pretty decently. And then the triple captain, everything that Sam basically just said, Haaland seems to be the most obvious one, but as we saw with Semenyo against the Fulham for the guy who is top of our mini league, I think Semenyo is a great shot. By the time that you want to play your triple captain, somebody might be on a great run of form with decent fixtures. So you can't just say right now it's going to be Haaland in. Yeah, you can have an idea. 13 Leeds, we said 14 Sunderland for City. It's all good, but by then Isak might be on fire or Saka might be on fire and scoring 3 or 4 games in a row, and then that would obviously change your mind, and you could go for one of them. So just keep an eye. I think as always with triple captain, with the run of form of some of those key players and the fixtures, and then you can decide.
Yeah, it is tough, isn't it? I kind of feel like that with bench boost as well, because you can plan for a bench boost, and then if you get a couple of injuries or something, it is really hard. But if you are wildcarding, it's definitely something to think about. I haven't wildcarded yet. Could wildcard this week. I know you're almost angry with me about this, aren't you?
I'm so surprised that you haven't, honestly.
I meant to message you ahead of this, but I was like, actually, it's almost a conversation to have on the podcast. I've done multiple drafts. I nearly did it on Sunday. I know I need to sell Salah now. Like, that's done. It needs to be Salah to Saka. The prices haven't changed there. I've been monitoring it every day. If that would have changed, I think it probably would have tipped me over the edge. I'm a little bit worried. I should have done it by now because I want to do it, but if I'm not going to wildcard, I need to make sure Saka doesn't get injured in the international break. Or that, do you know what I mean? Like, it's a genuine thing. So there's multiple scenarios that could see me end up wildcarding, because I could do that transfer. Saka gets injured, I then have to wildcard. I can do my two transfers to get me to a place that I quite like. Kudus returning did not help me because I was all set to sell him. I can also get an Arsenal defender. They're the two reasons I would be wildcarding to cover Arsenal at the moment. I've got Semenyo, I've got Haaland. Pedro is a bit of a problem, I do admit that. And Giyu, I'm still not sure. I wanted by now some clarity. What I wanted, I'll be honest, is for Gyökeres to take that penalty, because then I would have gone with Gyökeres as my third forward.
Right.
I just can't decide what to do with, if I'm going to go Saka, I'm still not sold on Isak. So
no,
I don't quite know what to do there. And I would ultimately be wildcarding to get a Saka, which I can do with the transfer anyway, and to change my defence, really, it feels like.
But then the defence are so important right now. Yeah. Like, if you look at the players that are really returning, it's the defenders.
But so I've got Senesi, I've got Anderson, who's a DEFCON magnet, apart from it. Did he get a DEFCON? I think he might have even got a DEFCON point at Bournemouth, I can't remember. And an Arsenal defender. Yeah. I do need to change my keeper as well. Being honest, it could likely still happen. I'm monitoring the price rise. I haven't talked myself out. The other problem I have got is that Grealish is suspended next game week.
Yeah.
So that could swing it, to be honest. But yeah, I have, the price changes have meant I haven't needed to go already, whereas I would have normally gone.
But it's a good thing, because that means you don't feel like you have to wild card because you don't like your team, or you think your team is
really
bad. But
I also, everything you've just said there in terms of like looking at your strategy going forward, I've got to be careful that I don't push my wild card back too far, that it affects my bench boost and triple captain.
And it's not just that, it's also not pushing it back so far that it impacts the transfers around AFCON in game week 16, because that's something else to consider, that you know, if you wild card late, you've then, you know, obviously you'll have less transfers, but you do need to kind of think about that strategy for game.
I will play it by the end of October. Like, that's kind of is my thinking. It's going to be this month, because then I want the whole of November almost to sort myself out in terms of transfers and everything. I'd say I'm probably 70-30 going to do it over the next couple of days.
Yeah. So it's game week 8 or 9, basically. Yeah.
Do you know, so it's game week 8 or 9, really. So yeah. There's just a lot of things going around in my head with it.
We will help you, because we're going to go through the best players
in
each position.
Normally,
so.
And then probably by the end of this podcast,
she doesn't have, and then...
Yeah, exactly.
By the end of this podcast, I'll probably press the button, won't I? Let's be honest. I just think there's quite a lot of... I'm not normally this indecisive. I've normally got a real... I think the double chips thing has really thrown me. I know we already had two wild cards, but the double chips thing has really thrown me. Usually I'm like, well, I'm going to triple captain there. And I'm also still... I should probably wildcard, because I've learned my lesson. Have I not learned my lesson, in fact, from the fact I didn't use my triple captain when I knew I should have a couple of weeks, so I didn't do it, and look what happened. Ended up down. So yeah, decisions aren't my strong point, guys, as we know. Sam, in terms of for other people that are listening who haven't wildcarded, is now the point? Because not everyone, some people will look at their teams and say they don't need to.
Yeah, I mean, I think now is the point if you don't have Arsenal, if you don't have many Manchester City players, if you are looking at a team that's still set up for game week one. I mean, the chances are, if you set up well for game week one, and you know that your team now doesn't look great heading into the next fixtures that we have, unless you've used your transfers really wisely, which you might have done. So this does feel like a really opportune moment to just reset and start again. I don't think there's anything wrong with your strategy of waiting another week or two, particularly if you're looking at your team for game week 8 and thinking, oh, that actually looks okay. You do have to be mindful of the other chips, though, because, you know, in the past, the triple captain, the bench boost, the free hit, all three of them would have been pushed into the second half of the season, and we'll have gone, oh, let's wait for double game week here or a blank game week there or all those opportunities later on. But because we have to use all of these in this first part of the season, we do need to be mindful of the fact that the wild card's going to come, but then you need another 3 game weeks where you can play those other chips as well. So don't let it get to a point where you're getting to sort of game week 14, 15, and then you're panicking because you've got to get everything done in the last few weeks, which I know, Kel, is your specialty. You do like leaving things late.
You can't this year, though. The chips, I just don't think you can. Yeah, I don't think you can this year. I think it's a real thing. I need to get my spreadsheet back out.
You do.
I was much more effective when I had a spreadsheet. I should have learned. Didn't use a spreadsheet last year and had my worst ever finish. So I need to get the spreadsheet back out.
Yeah, I do think the international break in November feels a bit too late to play it. So somewhere between now and the next international break feels like the best time.
Moving on then, let's talk about the fixtures for the next few weeks, Sam, in terms of, this is another thing that makes it a minefield. There is so many competitions and so many Premier League teams who have got multiple fixtures to contend with over the next few weeks.
Yeah, I sat down and I tried to work out who had the least fixtures, because obviously even if you just take up until the next international break, if you just look at who's just playing in the Premier League, they'll have four games. So you've got Bournemouth, Burnley, Everton, Leeds, United, Manchester United, Sunderland and West Ham. Then you've got the teams that are also playing in the League Cup. And then you've got Brentford, Brighton, Fulham and Wolves. You've got those then that are playing in Europe, but without the League Cup. So Forest and Villa, they've got six. And then everyone else, so Arsenal, Chelsea, Palace, Liverpool, Manchester City, Newcastle and Spurs, all have seven matches to play between now and the international break in November, which is massive. That's a massive number of fixtures after a really busy period for most of these clubs already, with Champions League, Europa League, Conference League, League Cup, everything else that's been going on. So it does make you kind of think, because if you are going to be using bench boost chips, if you are going to be trying to triple captain, if you want to use your free hit, you have to be really mindful of the fact that there might be some rotation. And for some clubs, we're seeing that on the back of the midweek action. So something to consider, and something that is making me kind of look at the clubs that just are playing Premier League, or maybe just are playing Premier League and League Cup, and thinking maybe these are the teams that I should be looking to invest in for that security of starts over the next few weeks.
It does make Bournemouth so attractive, doesn't it? Because they're out of the League Cup as well, Jules.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, of that, those teams that Sam mentioned with only four games, they're not just the best one right now. They're also the most informed, with the players that we mentioned are also informed, from Senesi to Semenyo, potentially an Evan Nilsson if you want, Petrovic in goal, Diakite as another defender if you don't want to go for Senesi, or even if you want to double up, treble up. You could look at Clover, who scored a worldie on Friday night and might come back into the team and might come back into some sort of form. So there's a lot of options there for Bournemouth. You can look, obviously, at Everton with Grealish or NDI, Leeds, Burnley and Sunderland. Maybe it's a little bit more difficult just to invest more on those teams. United, maybe, if they can somehow get a bit of consistency for an Mbeumo or even Bruno, if you believe, really. But yeah, Bournemouth are the ones really to target.
Okay, let's go through by position then. I probably haven't quite left long enough about this because we've waffled on about my wild card too long. So we don't have too long, guys. I'm mainly aiming that at you, Jules. Pope and Roofs lead the way in terms of goalkeeping points. And they're pretty much two of the best options, aren't they, Jules?
Yeah, I mean, for Pope, no doubt. They are a very strong defence at Newcastle with a very strong midfield. We say that often. For Roofs, who I think is interesting, and Sunderland as a whole, great start of the season for a newly promoted side. The thing is, the fixtures coming up are tough. So you wonder how sustainable this kind of form is from him to start with, from this team overall, and especially defensively. They will play Chelsea, Arsenal, Liverpool, City and Newcastle, I think, in the next eight games or nine games, something like that. So things are going to get far more difficult for Sunderland than they were so far in those first seven game weeks of the season. But he's still a very good goalkeeper. He was highly rated in the summer. A few other European clubs like Lyon wanted to sign him. He chose Sunderland. And he's been good so far, but things are going to get harder.
Oh, ruining Sunderland's early season fun.
No, I'm just saying. And they have a French manager, so I love them dearly.
Sam, you went for Pope on your wild card, and it was tight, wasn't it, for you between Pope and Raya?
Yeah, it was massively tight. And in the end, I think the only thing that it came down to was the value that I place in three additional Arsenal assets that aren't the goalkeeper. Because otherwise, I think Raya is the standout pick, right? He plays for the best defence in the league. He looks like a really nice option. But if you pick him, you can only have two outfield Arsenal players. And that put me off. So Pope was a really, really great option. I mean, they sit second in the fixture ticker if you run it right the way through to game week 17. Just Arsenal ahead of them. Fixtures look great. There's a nice opportunity to go with somebody who also gets upside. Like, he often gets a save point. He'll often pick up a bonus point. So there's more potential upside, I think, for Pope than there is for Raya. Raya's probably going to get six most weeks because the Arsenal outfielders, they're going to get the bonus points. And he doesn't make that many saves, whereas Pope makes more. So, yeah, I mean, I think Pope is the best goalkeeper right now to have. So I'm quite glad I went there on wildcard.
And it's former Newcastle man Dubravka, who's still the second best kind of backup goalkeeper, isn't he? It's Price Jules. He's made the most saves this season with 29 as well.
Yeah, I mean, good performances for a Burnley team who's been conceding a lot of goals compared to last season in the Championship, for example. And I think they will keep conceding goals. So it's good to have on your bench. You can maybe play him sometimes, depending on who is the opposition. But I don't think he should be your starter anyway.
Okay, on to defenders. I'm a bit worried that because I said we had to go through quickly, we're now going to rattle through too quickly here. But keepers always a bit more simple to talk about, isn't it? Defenders, I think we all just need an Arsenal defender. Do we maybe need two Arsenal defenders, Jules?
One for sure, definitely. Again, we talked a little bit about it last week and I watched Julian Timber play live on Saturday and really, he was incredible.
There's you said last nothing. Week he's the best value.
Yeah,
still,
he's the best value for money, I think. And right now, because of the penalty that he got on Saturday, I think he's just a point clear of Gabriel, who is also a very good option, like his Saliba and like his Calafiori, who seems to staying fit for now, which is great. The thing I like with Timber is obviously the most attacking of the four. I'm not talking on set pieces, but in the play in itself, or the way Arsenal are playing, Calafiori comes a lot in midfield and is an inverted left back into midfield, and we'll have the odd goals and certainly on set pieces. But Timber is far more involved in the final thirds going forward for Arsenal than Calafiori, Gabriel or Saliba. Gabriel is the best on set pieces and everything around set pieces is aimed at Gabriel. So the other three, Calafiori, Timber and Saliba, are just making some work to help Gabriel scoring. So keep that in mind because Gabriel will always score more goals than anybody else in that team, I think.
Defense. That's what scares me a little bit. Timber's 1 point ahead, but Gabriel, he's that little bit more expensive and I guess you kind of get what you pay for, don't you really? So
yeah, no, you are. But I also think that Timber will bring you more, potentially more points in assist or in, you know, like Gabriel would never get the penalty that Timber gets on Saturday. Timber
I was
gets
so it because... fuming about that, by the way.
Why?
Because I knew you both had Timber and Saka. Both of you, not even one of you. Both of you had both players. I was doing so well until that point. Sorry.
Yeah, I do think that the Timber-Saka combo from an Arsenal point of view, if you start with just two Arsenal players, is the best one.
Yeah, it does feel that way, doesn't it? Sam, anything to add on Arsenal or should we suggest some other defenders to people?
No, I think just make sure you've got one at least. Possibly have two if you're not sure about doubling up on the attack, but I think you might want to double up on the Arsenal attack. So probably just depending upon your budget or which way you lean, I still think the underlying numbers for Timber are better. So I'm still in Timber's camp.
Also, I really like this because every time we've spoken about defenders this season, and particularly if you watch the fantasy show as well as listen to this pod, it feels like we've spoken about DEFCON so much. I think we're all guilty of getting a little bit too obsessed with DEFCON maybe. And I think this stat, all of the top 13 defenders in the game have registered at least one attacking return so far this season. Only three of the top 17 defenders have received DEFCON points at least once. So Sam, we need to consider DEFCON, don't we? And it's changed things a little bit. But those attacking returns are still gold for us, aren't they?
I think that's the thing, isn't it? Like the DEFCON points are really, really good. I guess it depends on what we classify as a return. So this season, we've got more potential for returns for the defenders because we've got DEFCON. But in the past, it's really been, do they get a clean sheet or not? So it's either two or six, unless you're a fullback, and then you're more likely to get an attacking return. So maybe an assist or maybe a goal. So if you've got, you know, in the past, if you've had a Trent or you've had a Pedro Porro, you're more likely to get something out of them. Plus those players are more likely to take the set pieces, the free kicks or the corners. This season it is different though, because we are seeing continuation of attacking returns from the centre-backs, in like particularly if we take Gabriel, who we've just been talking about, we're still getting potential from him from set pieces, but you have the added benefits of the DEFCON points. So all of that stuff is kind of contributing. So I think what's really fascinating this season is that now, and if we take Tarkowski as an example of this, last week Tarkowski gets 5 points, but he doesn't get a traditional return. There's no clean sheet, there's no goal, there's no assist. He just gets two DEFCON points and a bonus point, plus his 2 points for playing the game. The fact that you can get a defender getting 5 points without actually getting any official returns, as we would normally have classified them, that is incredible. And it is changing the way that we look at defenders, and it should change the way that we look at defenders. So rather than just going, I want my fullbacks, and kind of ignoring the centre-backs, I think there is now a conversation where you have to weight the value of the full-back with the potential that, like Tarkov, you can get those five without really doing much else.
I also think it's just changed the way we think about maybe our slightly cheaper defenders as
massively.
Well. I think we're a little bit more selective, whereas it before it was like, who's the best fullback from the newly promoted club? Now it can be like, who's the best centre-back from maybe not even a... Mark Gahey's a prime example, yeah. I think, yeah. in some ways. Like, he's not from a newly promoted club. He's from a team that do keep clean sheets a lot. We wouldn't have looked at him in the past because we'd have always looked at Munoz. But Jules, you've managed to get Gahey yeah. and benefit from the clean sheets and benefit from his DEFCON without having to spend the Munoz money.
Yeah.
So it's a different way of getting into other defences, I think.
Completely. And from the beginning, I mean, the price of Gahey at the start of the season, I don't understand how he was so cheap anyway, because the guy's an England international, plays in Europe, he's the FA Cup winner. And
oh, he loves England.
Well.
That was nice, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Unusual.
Somebody
That's
has
normally
to
my
England,
role.
To be
yeah.
yeah, exactly. But no, it's true. And even now with all the price rises, Gahey is still 4.8. It's way cheaper. It's like more than $1 million less than Timber, for example.
Mm.
That's and Gahey, in terms of the season so far, I mean, okay, apart from the worldie that he scored against, was it West
Villa.
Ham?
Villa, wasn't it?
Oh, Villa? Villa, yeah, you're right. Villa in that top corner where you think, like, oh, well, okay, if the guy can also do things like that, it's even better. But Gahey has been, everybody should have Gahey in their team, I think. Really, I think, again, the value for money is incredible. What's interesting is the top eight of the best defenders so far are centre-backs. If you count Calafiori and Timber, who are centre-backs, really, but now play at full-backs, but they are centre-backs, which goes to the point that Sam just made about DEFCON and not looking at full-backs before. I remember maybe 2 years ago, we all had defences with just full-backs. There was not even a centre-back there. We were all looking for Ding and Trent and those kind of like attacking full-backs. Now, they're not even in the top eight, really. Maybe the right balance is some established like star centre-back defenders, if you want, like a Gabriel or Timber, and then balance it with maybe players cheaper. Okay, Tarkovsky is not much cheaper, but you know what I mean? Like those guys who are going to start in DEFCON more than being the best defence in the country.
Kels, at the beginning of this, when you said, I don't want a wild card just for my defence.
Yeah, all right, you're making me feel worse. I knew this would happen, and I knew when we came onto this chat.
You've got plenty of time. The rain at Turkey will, you know, give you...
That's true. You can think about it while you're sitting inside.
It's all-inclusive free drinks here, guys.
Oh, there you go. By the end of the day, then you'll have played it. I think if you look back at last season, by this stage, only five defenders had hit 30 points, and only one of them had broken 40 points. This season, we've got 20 defenders who've already got 30 points and six who have already got more than 40. So we are seeing a shift in the number of points that defenders are scoring. And it's therefore suggesting that we should be going back to the point of putting more thought into our defence rather than just going, I'm playing three at the back and that's the end of it. And I'll have these three and I'll just pick two randoms who are likely to, you know, it was like Leif Davis, wasn't it, last season? He's more likely to get an attacking return, so I'll just stick him in. This season, it's really different. And we're seeing, like, you've got options in these cheaper clubs who are getting defensive contributions, who have the potential for assists or goals as well. So the defence feels like it's more important than ever because of the value that they're bringing and because of the fact that they are achieving far more points than the forwards at the moment.
Yeah, so Anderson, Senesi and Tarkovsky have scored the most with 12 out of a possible of 14 DEFCON points, which is pretty impressive, but only Senesi makes it into the top 10 scoring defenders. So yeah, something to consider, but not the be-all and end-all. With all that we've said then, Sam, outside of an Arsenal defender, and it sounds like both of your Arsenal defenders of choice or defender of choice is Timber, who are the best options? Jules has already said Gahey.
Yeah, definitely. I think him, if you want to go for a Lacroix or Richards as well, then, you know, fine. I think Gahey's the best one, though, in my opinion. Senesi, I think, still has to be there. I think he looks like a great option for the rest of the season, pretty much. If you're not going Pope in goal, I'd have a Newcastle defender. Probably go for Dan Burn, somebody along those lines. And then I think you can then afford to go for one of the cheaper options, the 4 million.
Who's the best cheaper? Who's the best four at the moment, then?
That's difficult, isn't it? Because like Alderete's obviously had that monster haul last week. Roden is lucky that he's not scored two in two. He could have easily scored again against Spurs at the weekend. I think he would have quite enjoyed that one as well. So there's options that have got attacking threat, but they're also keeping regular clean sheets. And I appreciate what Jules said earlier about Sunderland and the fact that their season is going to be a bit more difficult. But you're not realistically going to play your 4.0 very often. And the fact that, you know, in the next three, so they've got Wolves up next, then it's Chelsea and Everton. Difficult game against Arsenal, Fulham, Bournemouth, Liverpool, Man City. But in those games, you're just benching them anyway. So yeah. I think it's probably I'd still go for somebody like a Roden or an Alderete because you do have that little bit of upside potential.
Jules, who would you go for? You've already said Gahey and Timber. Who else?
I would just add Mukiele, who Sam mentioned last week at Sunderland, Paris born and bred, which makes him even more special, as you know. But at 4 million...
You don't get points for that. It's not a category.
Well, you should really. Imagine I'm going to have a word with FPL.
But Jules, sorry, because I don't want to forget to say this. Someone tweeted, I don't know if you saw this, Jules. Someone tweeted saying, if you got FPL points for TV and radio appearances across the last week, Julian Laron would win the entire game because you'd been on so many programmes.
Oh, yeah.
They'd just switched on and seen you on Sunday Supplement on Sky Sports. And you'd been on, I can't even remember, but you'd been on so many other programmes. I just thought it was quite funny. Sorry,
yes, thank you. No, I didn't see it. I look for a response. But yeah, I think Mukiele, just at 4 million, is 4.0, is good to have.
We'll go on to midfielders then. Absolutely no surprise to see Antoine Semenyo is top of the charts, Sam. Must have?
Yeah, absolutely essential. Like, and I just think it's fascinating, isn't it? Because he's gone up by 0.9 million already.
That's bonkers, isn't it?
It's mad. We're 7 game weeks in and he's gone up by nearly a million already. Yet he still looks cheap. He still looks incredible value for money. Like, I think if you don't have him and you've got to spend 7.9 on him, just spend 7.9 on him, because in the next couple of weeks, he could easily be 8.5. Like, he's going to be by far and away the player that has the most upside in terms of team value over the next few weeks. I think he'll rise again over this international break. I just think that he's just essential. Like, he's the first player I would genuinely categorise as essential this season.
It's also quite nice, isn't it, that an essential player is someone that isn't, I know he's gone up a lot, but he's still under 8 million.
Yeah,
still under 8 million. So for our budget, it's just brilliant. Like, you can understand if Saka's or Salah is essential, and you're like, oh, I'm struggling to get him in. You shouldn't really be struggling to get him in my opinion, anyway. And it kind of epitomises the top of the midfielder rankings in general, doesn't it, Jules? If you take a look at it, the highest scoring premium midfielder is Salah, and he is 12th in the rankings. There's been incredible value in midfield this season.
Yeah, I mean, incredible value, you're right. And people like Semenyo have been outstanding, really. But it's disappointing from the premiums, right? Let's be honest here. Let's call it what it is. This hasn't been a good season for Bruno Fernandes, who's missed penalties, for Mo Salah, who at times just saved his performance by a late goal or late penalty like at Burnley, but really was not good during the game. Saka has been injured. So from that kind of perspective on those players, Wirtz, let's not even go there, would be like, it hasn't been good really so far. So let's hope that they get better, although that would bring more headaches to us on then who to go for and find that money that you mentioned, Kels, to bring Bruno in your team or Salah back in your team or Saka if you don't have him, etc., etc. But for now, let's enjoy the way it is, because it's quite fun and it's good because it's just different. The other interesting thing as well is in the top 8 of those midfielders, you've got 6 defensive midfielders. So forget about a guy who plays as a number 10 or a very creative attacking midfielder like Semenyo, but you've got your Caicedos, your Rices, Gravenberch, Cullen is there too. And there's another one that I can't even read my writing. And Enzo, of course, sometimes plays a little bit higher up on the pitch, maybe as a number 10. But still, those players are usually deeper on the pitch, certainly for Caicedo, Gravenberch and Rice. And yet, their performances this season has been good. And in the game, they come up with a goal. Caicedo's got 3 goals already on top of all the DEFCONs, all the bonus points, because he's been outstanding, one of the league's best players so far. So even a bit like the defenders and the fullbacks and centre-backs, we used to just look at attacking midfielders for our midfielder line, which is absolutely fine. Now, I think you can look even more at defensive midfielders.
Okay, then let's build our best midfield. So we're all saying Semenyo. Who would you go after that? It's got to be Saka, hasn't it, Sam?
Yeah, I'd have Saka. I think I would be really, really tempted to have Saka and Eze at the minute because of the Ødegaard injury. I think that will make Eze increasingly important in the Arsenal team for the next few weeks. So I think I'd go there. I really like Anthony Gordon. I appreciate we didn't see a lot from him in game week 7, but I like the fixtures. I like where he's playing. The fact that he probably is on penalties when he's on the pitch also adds another element to his game. So I like him. I like Ismaïla Sarr as well in the Palace fixtures. Okay. And then Caicedo, I just think he's probably going to be my transfer in this week or next week ahead of the next game week anyway. I just think he looks like great value for money in a Chelsea team that, you know, seems to be getting points and goals through him. So, yeah, I think Caicedo is a really nice option. Then, of course, there's Reinders still, who, if you want to stay in the really cheap bracket, it feels like a really nice option as well.
I love Caicedo on the bench. against Liverpool, and I was fuming. And I did it because I had Josh King, who I really like, and I know he hasn't, in terms of FPL, hasn't brought that many points yet, but I knew he would probably play up front because of Jimenez and Mooney situations and at Fulham. But the weather was so bad. I felt Josh King could fly off with all the wind that there was in Bournemouth in that game because he's so, you know, small and skinny. Yeah. So I left Caicedo on the bench, and then when I watched the Chelsea Liverpool game, and I was like, oh my God. So that's my 10 points on the bench from Caicedo. I think for me, Caicedo is a must have. You can have Semenyo and Saka and all the players that Sam mentioned, and they're all great, but Caicedo is a must have now.
One name that I thought one of you might have mentioned is Ndiaye at Everton. He looks good value doesn't he, Sam?
Yeah. And he took his penalty really well as well.
Yeah, he does look good value. I don't know. Everton, obviously it's Manchester City up next, then it's Spurs. Then they get into a nicer run of fixtures again before they get to Newcastle, Bournemouth, and then Chelsea and Arsenal. So the fixtures are a little bit mixed, and that's probably why, because like he's significantly more expensive than somebody like Caicedo. So I think because the fixtures are a little bit more difficult, that's why I'm leaning away from him and towards some of the cheaper Chelsea options.
Okay, on to forwards. I think we're all saying that one of our slots has gone. If you're going to say Antoine Semenyo is essential, you're going to say that you've got to spend the big bucks on Haaland, aren't you, Jules?
Yeah, 100%. I'm still a bit baffled by the fact that he had only one shot against Brentford, which came in the 9th minute, and he took his goal really well. But even that ball was not a great ball. I mean, he had a lot of work. It's not a tap-in, basically. That's what I mean. He still had a lot of work to do. And then nothing. So you've got the most informed striker in Europe with Mbappe and Kane. They are the three really outstanding right now. And you only give him one shot in 90 minutes away at Brentford, which I know City controlled that second half, and they controlled the game, and they were happy with the 1-0 win. And Haaland
doesn't help us in FPL, does it?
But you know what I mean? Like, the guy's in that kind of form. Just give him the ball all the time. Even if you put crosses in and he's not always at the end of them, it doesn't matter. Just feed the guy, really. So I think he should even be better than what it is now. But I think he's scored 18 in his 11 games so far this season for club and country. It's just sick, really, how good he is, even with not much service. So he's a banker. Go for him. I know he's expensive, but he's worth it.
He's also the only forward with one double-digit return, which when I read that, I was like, what?
Yeah, it's nice.
How has that happened? Outside of Haaland, João Pedro's been popular, but now we spoke about him last week and we kind of said, don't sell him now. And there's a whole fear of if he does return, you could be kind of left behind. But if I was wildcarding, I don't think he'd stay, Sam.
It's really hard to sell him ahead of Nottingham Forest and then Sunderland. Like, it's really difficult to send him ahead of those two matches.
This is also factoring into my wildcard thinking as well.
Yeah, I get that.
My wildcard.
I get that totally, because actually, and again, going back to that conversation we had before about the defenders, last season we had 10 forwards who had got 30 points already and 5 on more than 40. This season we've got 6 who have got 30 and only Haaland who's got more than 40. So the forwards have been really disappointing at a time when the defenders have been really good. And I'm so heavily invested in my forward line. Like, I've got Haaland, I've got João Pedro, and I've got Isak. So much budget in that front line. It feels a bit ridiculous to have it that far. And it does look like João Pedro could be the player that goes sooner rather than later. But I really struggle to sell him ahead of those next two fixtures. So I think the underlying numbers suggest that he's a sell. 2 attempts in the last 4 and 0 on target. I mean, that's really bad. Like, there's bad and there's that. So yes, I think so. But that Forest defence, I think I'm going to give him another week.
Okay, so the third scoring forward in the game is actually Jared Bowen. He's had some price drops. He's at a brilliant price point. We know that Sam loves him. Yeah. And we know that if West Ham are going to score, you kind of know it's going to be him, don't you really? But the problem, I guess, Jules, is how many are they going to score? Yeah. And does it justify buying him?
Yeah, and I think it might take a bit of time for Nuno to just, you know, make this team a better team. They're certainly already better structured than they were before under Harry Potter, which, let's be honest here, didn't really work. You know, I'm not a biggest fan of it anyway, but that didn't
work.
But you're right. I think Bowen would be great in a Nuno team kind of thing, a bit like what we saw last season with an Elanga, a Forest, you know, that kind of, just think about that kind of template. But how long will it take? And again, Bowen should not be the third highest forward in this game right now, because this season hasn't been that good, really, let's be honest. And neither has been West Ham. It shows you again that the big guys have been disappointing, or just overall it's been pretty average from the forwards in the game. So yeah, Bowen, why not? If you want to go there for sure. And the fixtures coming up are decent, to be honest. Sesko has now scored two and is looking a little bit better. The Brentford goal, he had to have three shots before scoring. And, you know, the one at the weekend was a kind of a tap in on a long throw, and that was it, really. So I'm not sure against Sunderland that you take too much away from it, but why not? I think Walter Mader right now is the one that everybody should look into.
That's who I would be bringing in, 100%.
He's still less than 10% owned, 7.2 million, so not too expensive compared to Isak or Haaland or even João Pedro, to be fair. The three goals, he took his penalty really well, and Sam maybe is right. Maybe he's Gordon, the number one taker, but Walter Mader is there too. He's getting, I think, more used to playing in this team, and you see his skill set very much. Certainly you saw it at the weekend. So it's an interesting one. And just to finish for me, let's address really the elephant in the room or the Isak in the room, because that return against Chelsea, no way this is an assist for
Gakpo.
Oh,
here we go.
No
Jules,
way.
We're running out of time on the show.
It's a bad touch from Isak, who probably wanted to get the
Don't
ball
you
down
have him?
For himself. No, I take the
You've
5
got
points.
The points.
Yeah, I take
exactly.
the 5 points. But I'm just saying, for people
who... Beautiful assist, Jules.
I should be angry because I didn't have him.
No, true. But for the people who say like, oh yeah, that's it. He, you know, this is first return. Finally, like, because there was a goal in the League Cup, but not in the league. It's something in the league. Well, it's a fluke in the league. Yeah, that's what it is. I'm just saying.
Okay, best three forwards then to round off. We haven't got much time left. Sam, who would you go for?
Haaland, obviously.
Who's that?
I've literally lost the ability to speak now. And then, I don't know, I still really like Mateta. I think I made a mistake.
That would be my third forward.
I think I made a mistake.
French international, yeah. No.
Yeah, and I think when I kept João Pedro over him through fear of ownership, that was a mistake. All right, the next two aren't great. It's Bournemouth and Arsenal. But after that, I really like the fixtures for Palace. And so I think what I'll probably do is give João Pedro 2 weeks and then move back
boom,
to
boom,
Jean-Philippe.
Boom, boom, boom. Mateta's in the room.
Jules, give us your three forwards.
Yeah,
I've
got Haaland. Voldemort. Sam loves Harry Potter.
He is commonly known as Voldemort in the FPL community, yeah.
And... The third one for Nudge, I stick with João Pedro.
Would you?
Okay, do you want to sing us out then, Jules? We'll be back next week. It's an international break and we'll be previewing the next game week then. So still plenty to come. Jules, sing us out, please. Have a great week, guys.
Boom, 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 boom. Mateta's in the room.